Today's scripture reading is Luke 13, 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with the spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath unite his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. This being the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, everybody. Hi, good morning. Let's see. Can I take up the space? Is that okay? I guess we didn't talk about that. If I can take over your podium, there you go. Super duper. Hi, I'm Stephen Bowler. I'm Family Ministries Director or Youth Guy / Children's Guy, all the things that you could call me and stuff like that. So they actually let me preach today, which is awesome. It's fun whenever I'm part of a Facebook group with all these youth pastors and stuff, and we always kind of are like, "Guys, they're letting me preach in big church," and everybody's like, "Yeah, we did it, we arrived," and it's like, that's good. So, hope you're all doing well. We got a lot of COVID this week, which maybe is just an excuse that I'm up here. There you go. That's what they're saying. Hey, it's COVID. There you go. So, okay, well, let me pray for us. I need it. We all need it. We need the Spirit, and let's do that. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, so much that you have given us your Son. Thank you that you've given us your Spirit. Thank you that you change us, transform us through your word, through fellowship, through the church. Lord, don't let me get in the way today. If it's one person today that needs your word, Lord, let that person hear it and be changed to grow even just an inch closer to you. And let me not get in the way, Lord. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. Help us to find your compassion. Help us to see that you see us. And help us to celebrate with each other every day. Thank you, Lord. Help those with sickness. Help those with suffering this week. Help us all to encourage and love each other. Thank you for the cross and for your love. In Jesus' name pray. Amen. All right, we're doing the series. I think it's up there. Yep, Stories from the Road. And today we're talking about controversial healing, but Stories from a Road, I like it. We're going to the cross. That's what Jesus and the disciples are doing. We've seen Mary and Martha, there are different things happening in the house, and we've seen different healings, etc., etc. We're going to the cross, and of course, along the way, controversy is going to happen. Struggle is going to happen. That's kind of what we're going to see today. And it shows us, Luke 13, that Carrie wrote, read for us just a second ago, that along the road, freedom, we can find freedom. There is freedom in the most unlikely places. So there is freedom, and we can always find that freedom, and sometimes we find it in places we hope to find it, and sometimes we find it in unlikely places. This woman who had been going, we think, maybe to the synagogue for most of her life, there wasn't saying that she was somebody that had been outside of it. She had probably maybe gone to that exact synagogue for a while. She, in weird way, maybe found that the synagogue, her church, was an unlikely space to actually find freedom and healing. And so sometimes, even in church, from somebody you didn't know, somebody new, you could find freedom, healing in the most unlikely place. But that freedom, we can find three things that we see that Jesus, in her dealings with this crippled, bent over woman, we can find three things. One, we are seen by Jesus, and he approaches us in compassion. Okay? That we don't let our religion get in the way of relationships, and we should always celebrate what Jesus is doing. So those, if you zone out the rest of the time, you're like, oh, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's three things that you, four things really that you should remember is freedom in unlikely places, that Jesus sees you, that we can't let our religion get in the way of our relationships or others' relationships, and that we should celebrate what Jesus is doing. So I'm going to tell a few stories today that are going to all stem from my college years, from the same group of people. And it's funny, I don't see these people a lot. They're my best friends from college. We have the weirdest, strangest name for our group called the Wolf Pack, which maybe was a bad name now that I think about it, looking back 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that in a Bible college, you called yourself a wolf pack, and there's that verse that says, watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing, and I'm like, oh, no wonder people thought we were kind of weird and iffy. But so I'm going to tell a lot of stories, so you'll hear those people throughout. But we found ourselves in a space that most of us didn't know what we were doing. A lot of us, in the Bible college we went into, and this is a common Bible college kind of thing, like 70% of the people there were homeschooled or Christian schooled. A lot of people. So they knew the Bible really well. They had gone to church all their lives, etc., etc. Out of all of us in our group, none of us were private Christian school. None of us homeschooled. Some of us didn't even know what... I didn't even know private schools existed, private Christian schools existed where I came from. So to come in, we all kind of were like, we had to take this test that showed how well we knew the Bible, and all of us were getting like in the 20 percentile, 30 percentile. The private school guys were like, I got an 88, a B. And we're like, yeah, Bs are terrible, man, you know. So, yeah, man, 80, right? So, but all of us, we kind of were like looking at each other, and we found each other, and we were like, wow. Can we do this together? We feel a little outcasted in this weird, in this, for some reason, we all found ourselves at Bible college, even though we didn't know what we were doing there. And we said, yeah. And so we found an unlikely space in this really foreign land that we were in this really kind of fundamentalist Bible college. And we looked at each other and said, hey, let's do this together. And all of us found this freedom. Our leader eventually, named Stephen, not me, but another Stephen, he found it the most. He would get in front of chapel and in a spot where a lot of people, in fact, didn't even think drums should be used in chapel and whatnot. They didn't like rap music and stuff. He would get up and when it open mic time and he would rap in front of everyone scripture and stuff, but he would dance and we all danced with him because we wanted to have freedom for him and ourselves in a space that possibly he didn't feel free to do that. But we wanted to see also there that we saw him and we saw each other as Jesus saw us. And we wanted to approach each other, see each other, and come together with compassion and love. And that's what we see here with Jesus. He's teaching in the synagogue. And this woman, we don't know much about her, again. All we know is she's been sick for 18 years, bent over by a spirit. We don't know what even that means. It could mean that evil spirit, I don't imagine, or else it would have said that maybe. We don't know what spirit meant. She was just sick. She'd been sick for 18 years. And again, she had probably come into the synagogue several times because it says that she was a, later on, Jesus says that she is a daughter of Abraham. So she would have kind of been in that fold. And for some reason, she hadn't found that healing for 18 years. And this might be some of us today that we have found ourselves sick or suffering for a long time. Bring it back in my story about my friends. I have a friend, Katie, that, amazing, I think of her as a sister. 10 years ago, some reason, she got affected by mold, like dramatically affected by it. So much, she almost died. And she had to sleep probably 12 to 16 hours a day because of her ailment. And Katie, to this day, is still sick. In fact, her doctor said, you need to move to Arizona because she got re-sick by some more mold. And the doctors really have told Katie, hey, you're going to be sick forever. This is not going to go away. It'll ebb and flow, but you're going to be sick forever. And that breaks our hearts as her friend. And, of course, it makes her sad. And needless to say, also some things with her life is that same Stephen that I was talking about, that she was going to marry him. All of a sudden, in 2014, he just falls over and dies. Going to marry that guy. And so death, sickness, for a decade she's been sick. But I tell you what, Katie is the most prayerful, joyful, most spirit-filled woman that I know. When I have sufferings, I call Katie because I need what she has. And it's because in that suffering, though she's wished that it wouldn't be a decade later, and she knows that it might be forever, she still sees that God sees her and has compassion on her through friends, through medicine, through things. And some people might look at that and go, well, Stephen, why doesn't God make her life better? Why doesn't God heal her? And I get that question. I don't know. I get emotional even talking about Katie. I'm like, man, God, why don't you heal her? Why don't you heal this person in my life? Why don't you take away my suffering? Maybe you're thinking that. You're like, man, it's been 8 years since this happened, 20 years since this happened. Or you're hoping, man, I feel this. I hope it's not 18 years of suffering, of sickness, of this, like our woman in the story, in the account, bent over. Maybe she's middle-aged. We don't know. Maybe she's a young woman. She's been like that since she was 4. We don't know. But, you know, I look at that and I say, God is a worker of miracles, yes. And God also, I think of him and I look at him. And I think of my friend Stephen who died from his heart failure. That's what he had. He had heart problems since he had open heart surgery at the age of 2 or 4. So that's what eventually caught up to him. Stephen right now, in the presence of the Lord, doesn't have to worry about his heart. He just doesn't. He'll never have to worry about his heart again. Am I sad about that? That I don't have him anymore? Absolutely. Are we all sad? Yes. But he has found his healing in Christ regardless. And I have hope in that. I could tell countless stories of people I know with really strong mental health, et cetera, that's really debilitating and their mind will never be right. The resurrection is what I hope for and have peace in, that it'll be made right and good. And I think about this woman, 18 years, all of a sudden she's healed. It is Jesus showing us that future. It might not happen now like that woman, but it is the kingdom and him showing us this is what we want. This is what God wants, and he is bringing that into fruition. It's not maybe now, but in eternity, in the new heavens, new earth, it will be for those who love him, for us who love him, us, his family, find healing and goodness. And no matter what, he sees us and he has compassion to the smallest of suffering and ailments, to the largest, like Katie, who probably will never, except by a miracle, be sick. The next thing is, we think of this woman 18 years, and Jesus sees her, sees compassion, and it's amazing, and he says, hey, you're healed, and boom, good to go, everything's fine, and you think, that's amazing. I would think that's amazing if Katie called me tomorrow and said, hey, I'm sick, I'm not sick anymore, I'm good. I would think that's amazing, but the leader of the synagogue says, it's on the Sabbath. Can't do that. Sorry, Jesus. And you know, we think of that. We don't think of the Sabbath the same way they do, et cetera, et cetera, you know. But, you know, if we think about it, if you look at, that was their rule, that was their thing, was that you don't work on the Sabbath. You don't perform on the Sabbath. You rest. And there's principles behind that. But here's, you can't let your religion, and Jesus cared about religion. He cared about prayer. He did the fasting, all this. We can't forget that. But he didn't ever let it get in the way of his love, his relationships, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to tell another story about my friends. Again, going back, we were called the wolf pack. We were a little crazy. We were more rambunctious than they were used to. At our very conservative Bible college. So much that they went to the dean. Somebody did, a few people, and said, hey, I think they're a cult. I think they might be a cult. And so the dean, who we became friends with, went to Stephen and two others, and they were like, he was like, hey, I need to have lunch with you. And he's like, hey, there's stories that you're a cult. That you're sacrificing something. We don't know where they got that story from about what we were sacrificing. I don't know. But everybody just laughed at that I wasn't in that meeting, but they laughed and they just, no, we just called ourselves that. I still don't know to this day why we called ourselves that. Stephen made it up and we did something with it. So regardless, the dean could have easily made religious something into getting in the way of our relationships with each other and with God, and to grow and to become closer to him, which we did. I can't say I'd be here myself, who I am, without those guys, without those women. Okay, that group of about 10 to 20 people. I love them so much. I can't be who I am today without God using them in my life. And so there's that Jesus looks at them. I assume that the more people objected to the Sabbath healing. You hypocrites. It's not each of you on Sabbath untie his donkey or his ox or donkey from the manger and lead it to water. Pretty much. He's saying, will you let your Sunday and your religious ideas get in the way? And we can't do that. I hope I never get in the way of somebody because I have an idea of what church, Jesus, or anything looks like, just so I can put it into a box. I don't want anybody to not see Jesus. I'm so terrified that my daughter, I have a rule for her that makes it that she doesn't, that one day she tells me, I hated this because you did this. That's my greatest fear. I would hate that. Which brings us, which brings me to the last part. We should celebrate. We should celebrate instead. That's what happens at the end of the account, the story. Instead, is once Jesus calls them out and he says, "Hey, wouldn't you do this if you had a sick donkey? If you had something important and urgent on Sunday, on the Sabbath to do, wouldn't you do it?" Well, this woman, she was important. I saw her. I had compassion, and I did it on Sabbath. What are you going to complain about? God was glorified and loved. I saw her. I did this. It was good. And from then on, I think they realized, yeah. And they celebrated. They cheered. They were amazed by what God did in that moment. And their lives changed with Jesus. And they said, oh yeah, you're right. I'm not going to let this get in the way of my celebration of seeing what God has done. And that's what we have to do. And I feel so guilty of this always. I mean, I live 30 minutes away, and I wish I didn't, so that I could step into the lives of you all more and be in Harrisonville more. Because I feel like I need to still, after months of being here, just step in and know. Because knowing lets me celebrate. I can't celebrate something I don't know about. You can't know how to celebrate with a child. And this is my shameless plug as the family guy. That you can't know how to celebrate with the little 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds that we have, unless you're seeing how they're doing every week. The teens, how can I pray for you? I hear you're going back to school. Tell me how this is going. Maybe somebody you don't know. Hey, sit with them out there. We all kind of have coffee for the 30 minutes or so. Some of out in the lounge area. I'm still learning names. I should know the hub. And get to know somebody new so you can celebrate them. Hey, I saw you had a prayer request last week. Did that get answered? Celebrate it. It's amazing. I'm so happy you got that promotion. I prayed for it this last week. That's so, so it's a blessing to little Lena or Savea. You this happened in your lives? That's so good. High five. You know, things like that. That'd be so fun. Lena would tell you a joke probably. She just found a new one today. So those are things that we can celebrate. I'm actually meeting with 3 of those guys. I hadn't seen 2 of them in 2 years. One was my roommate freshman year, so this is 10 years, 11, 12 years that we're going to get together, and we're going to find out new things, and we're going to celebrate the things that we know. One of them has a 1-year-old baby boy. I haven't seen him since that baby was born. I'm going to celebrate. How's parenting? You know, it's crazy, isn't it? Things like that. I'm going to celebrate with him. I'm going to celebrate new jobs. I don't even know what's happened with Mo. Yeah, I haven't seen him since his wedding, I think 4 or 5 years ago. Man. But I'm going to celebrate. And it's going to be so awesome. And so my challenge for you, my challenge for myself, this is the biggest thing, is don't let this space not be a free space. And one of those things is to celebrate with each other. That's the final thing in this account, is that I see that it sticks in my mind that I'm like, they celebrated. They got over that weird religious experience getting in the way of the relationship, and they let it become celebration. So today, next week, forever, let us celebrate as a church. It means we need to know each other, get into each other's lives, and let's celebrate each other. That means I might need to, I need to take more notes because I'll forget. My mind doesn't remember a lot of things. I need to carry around a notebook sometimes. And I might need to write down some praises and prayer requests for you guys so that I can come the next week and say, man, that is a great celebration that I love, and I love getting to know those celebrations. So let me pray for us as we finish here and sing more together. Celebrate, because that's part of celebrating is singing, and then afterwards celebrate in person. So thank you, Lord, so much for your love that you celebrate with us. You celebrate what you're doing in our lives. It says that that heaven cheers when someone comes to know you. And I imagine that cheering doesn't stop when we come closer and closer to you, Lord. So thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love and what you do in each of our lives. Help us to encourage and love each other in the suffering and in the good times, Lord. Thank you again for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.